I don't know, you'll have to decide that, won't you?
Yeah, but did he try and make money?
I did.
We're recording.
So I probably failed, miserably.
Can I put it on your leg or not? Is that a bad idea?
Hedgerow Dasher was wearing a pair of underpants on his head as he flew. This is a story dedicated to my daughter. Wearing a pair of underpants on his head as he flew into the wide expanse of the beautiful willow tree that was draped over the pond. He helped himself to a bowl of caterpillars and nonchalantly plonks himself down on a branch as though there was nothing unusual going on whatsoever.
Except some spangles on his head.
Except some spangles. Spangle Sparrow thought otherwise, just as my daughter might. "Dad," she moaned, "you're so embarrassing." And with full dramatic effect, she stormed over to the mulberry bush on the top floor, with her beak pointed snootily high in the air, wings folded firmly across her chest. Spangle made it quite clear that she was unimpressed. It was the long-awaited week of the retweet, and all the families...
Told that word.
And all the families had just arrived. The hedges and woods around the old rectory house were abuzz with the chatter of excited young fledglings, reacquainting themselves with old friends they hadn't seen for nearly a year. Teenage fast flyers dashed across the skies, from oak to beech, through willow, and on up to the great chimney stacks that used to bellow with smoke during the days when the old house was warmed by open fire. There were the blackbirds, who lived in a posh village just outside of town. The robins, who lived in a shady part of town. The thrushes, who lived downtown, and the magpies, who lived uptown. The swallows had been busy travelling, so no one was quite sure where they were from, or if they knew, they'd long since forgot how.
I told you it wasn't going to work.
Say again, what?
Nobody heard.
It's really not worth repeating, really, honestly. I'm not repeating it, sorry.
It
you missed it. Joke's never
say
funny if you have
say
the dirty eyes. Anyway, so then there were the Subadassis, a family of tits who lived... I did warn them, I have to say this. I did just say, yeah. So, the Subadassis, who are a family of tits, who lived in a suburb of an ancient suburb of a suburb of Birddom. Daddy Subadassi had foolishly taken on the role of chair of the local chapter, the Royal Society for the Betterment of Birds, the RSBB. So although they lived out in the fringe of the fringe of the fringes, they were tolerated, albeit reluctantly.
What's that mean?
Barely.
Better you don't know, Edith.
The formalities began on the very first evening. All the birds met at the venerable old copper beech next to the fire pit. You may see it just behind you here. Just to the south of the old rectory house. Here, the wise old owl, head of the RSBB, read a sacred aphorism from the Tibetan vulture's book of living and flying. Then a mantra to great speckled Tara, whilst fireflies were offered at the altar. As the mantra faded away, a silence fell over the woods, and sleep soon beckoned the families towards its restorative embrace. After morning meditation and a hearty breakfast of juicy earthworm washed down with marinated pond water, Hedgerow Dasher decided to steal away and go and sit quietly under the beech. Deep in contemplative thought, the patriarch of the sparrow family soon reached a heightened state of focused meditation called dhyana, which happens very rarely and only to those birds who have a regular devotional practice that has been cultivated over many years. In fact, Hedgerow Dasher was about to achieve nirvana. No, not that nirvana. But a state where one throws off the shackles of what is essentially an entirely unsatisfactory existence on this cold and dreary planet and achieves an inner beauty and profound recognition that can only be witnessed by the gods. I'm hungry, Daddy! Shouted Spangle in her father's ear, wrenching him away from his reverie. What is there to eat? She repeated her demands. She repeated her demands before Hedgerow Dasher had a chance to recover his poise and land back down on planet Earth. What is there to eat? She asked. Unfortunately, this resulted in Hedgerow Dasher being in quite the rage when he finally crashed back into reality. So he led his daughter roughly by the wing, back to the willow, pushed her down onto a branch and shoved a plate of bugs in front of her. Eat, child, he said angrily.
But Spangle... Daddy, like you.
Exactly, I know. In fact, that was my inspiration for that bit. I didn't have to imagine it at all, Kira. It just came. Where was I? But Spangle was a fiery sparrow. Didn't have to make that bit up either, did I? Besides, she was still annoyed by her father's underpants antics, so she pushed the bugs aside.
That is not me.
So she pushed the bugs aside, stamped her foot on the branch, and announced, I don't want your stupid bugs, before rushing out of the willow. Spangle found a hazel bush on which to sulk, from where she could watch the children of the house play happily on the lawns. The children were having so much fun, shouting, running, laughing, rolling. Spangle Sparrow grew jealous. How come they're so happy and free? She moaned to herself. Now, Spangle was a budding musician. And is it times of angst?
No, I'm not.
It's not a story,
you.
It's fiction.
It's not you. It's kind of, you know what I mean? You're some of the inspiration, you're not all of it. So, now Spangle, she was a budding musician. And is it times of angst that many a songwriter finds inspiration for their song? Ooh, do be do. I want to be like you.
You're so bad!
She sang to herself. But then she decided that the song would never work and threw it away. Then she began to feel ever so sorry for herself. I'm nothing like them, she moaned. For starters, my dad thinks it's okay to embarrass me in front of all my friends and rush around with knickers on his head. Spangle stays sulking
in
the
house. That's definitely you.
Yeah, that is me.
You better not do put knickers on your head ever. Ever in your whole entire
life. Spangle stayed sulking in the hazel bush until early evening, until she resolved to go visit the old owl and ask what it was that made the children so happy and free. The owl yawned as he opened the door of the magnificent Scots pine, the tallest tree in these here woods. Spangle had woken him up, but he was a kindly being and he was glad for the youthful company, so he beckoned in the young bird and sat her down on his comfy wicker sofa. Then he listened. He was a wise old bird who had that skill. I'm afraid I can't help you, he said after a while. You see, I'm a bit of a night bird, so I rarely see the children playing as you describe. Spangle was crestfallen, but Owl noticed her beak drop and her wings droop, so he quickly made a suggestion. However, may I suggest that you seek the guidance of one or two of the other animals around here? They may have the answers you are searching for. Spangle brightened. Who do you suggest? She asked. Well, I'd start with a hare that lives in the field next to these here woods. Then I'd ask the ants that live in that anthill at the foot of the great cypress pine up near the chalet. Finally, I'd try the cockerel that has a roost by the old house. They're bound to offer valuable insights into what it is that makes those children so happy and free. Spangle soon reached the edge of the woods. Oh my, she thought, realising that she had never ventured so far from the old house. That field's so large. But she soon found herself a safe holly tree to hide in. Sorry. It's a helicopter.
Hello.
Hello. Idiots.
Idiots.
All right, enough idiots. I can continue. So she soon found herself a safe holly tree to hide in which she could barricade herself. It reassured her. What's more, it preferred her a fine view over the field. Soon enough, there was the hare, darting from furrow to furrow, jumping high in the air and thumping its hind legs together in joyous abandon. As the hare skirted the edge of the woods, under the holly, Spangle cleared her throat and called out to the hare, "Excuse me!" Now, here's an interesting aside. It was worth noting that there was a time when all the animals, humans, insects and bugs all understood one another. But as man began tilling the land and producing goods which he could sell at the market, he started developing secret languages in which he could plot ways to maximise his profit. And as man went forth to explore new lands, different languages developed. And so French, Italian, English and so forth evolved. And that man soon forgot how to speak to the birds. But the hare understood. So he looked up at Spangle curiously. He wasn't used to being spoken to by a sparrow, and certainly not one by as young as this. But he was a kindly hare, and he could see that Spangle had some urgent matter to resolve. So he reached up to get closer to the bird so he could hear better. The children are always having so much fun. They seem so happy and free, Spangle continued. The owl thought that you may know why.
Well, I have seen the children bounce around like mad march hares, and I know where their freedom lies. And I shall offer my answer in the form of a rhyme. This is what freedom is. It's to leap with one bound 10 whole feet from the ground, and to fart in the face of your fears. It's to laugh like a loon by the light of the moon, and to tie underpants to your ears. It's to dance through the spring like a crazy young thing, as you paint both your knees blue and red. It's to wear frilly frocks and get things thrown at you while you're trying to read a poem. It's to wear frilly frocks and put frogs in your socks, and to always put pants on your head. It's to wrestle and box with the stoat and the fox. It's to romp and to wriggle and race. It's to fly through the air with mice in your hair as you place underpants on your face. So come, little swallow, it's not hard to follow. Don't you see what it means to be free? It's to live without care, the mad life of a hare, and to know I can always be me. Woo! I get confused between swallows and sparrows occasionally. It's all the same.
Spangle was confused too, and he sat for a while contemplating the hare's insights. Running, jumping, dancing and boxing are all fine things to do, but there must be more to it than that. Let's see what the ants think. And off she flew to the chalet. Spangle found one of the workers busy carrying a small boulder back to the nest. Excuse me, said Spangle. The ant put down his rock, clearly glad for the rest, and turned to look at the young fledgling inquisitively. Spangle continued. The children are always having so much fun. They seem so happy and free. The owl thought that you may know why.
I have seen the children working and playing together like a colony of happy ants. And if you promise you're not going to eat me, I can tell you where their freedom lies. Let me answer in the form of a rhyme. An ant on its own has never been known to jump or to jig or to jest. But an ant in a crowd is both happy and loud and will dance all the way to its nest. The answer, it's clear, is to keep others near. Ask an ant or a wasp or a bee. It begins and it ends with your family and friends. There's no other way to be free.
Spangle pondered whether it really could be true that it was family and friends that made the children so happy and free. Let me go see what the cockerel thinks. And off she flew up to the old house. The house was perfectly quiet when Spangle arrived, because the children were out walking in the woods a little way from the house. These were the woods where the poplar were so tall, because the elven folk that lived there tended them so lovingly. Excuse me, Mr. Cockerel, sir. May I ask you a question? The cockerel looked at Spangle kindly and gave a friendly nod. The children are always having so much fun. They seem so happy and free. The owl thought you may know why.
I have seen the children shouting and singing all day long, and especially first thing in the morning, like a cockerel welcoming the dawn.
No, Daddy, that's true.
I can tell you where their freedom lies. And because I'm very serious about freedom, and also rather eloquent, I shall present my answer in iambic pentameter, in the form of a Shakespearean sonnet.
As you do.
Cockerels.
Yeah.
They know their forms.
Yes.
Shakespearean sonnet.
It's true. A cockerel's day begins while it's still night. The hours are poor, it's true, but I don't care. What better job than conjuring the light? My heart is full. I have a song to share. Each morning I embrace my task. I choose to rise when it's still dark. I love to sing. My cockerel's crow brings only happy news. The world's alive again, and everything that sleeps will rise to live another day. I shout the world awake. I sing the joy of life. I laugh. I yell, hooray! Leave yesterday behind. New world, ahoy! And freedom? It's to sing and shout, that's true. But more, to find the joy in all you do.
Woo! Spangle wondered whether the children's gay abandon, a phrase that's gone out of fashion, I find, really was down to shouting and singing. She sat deep in thought, considering the possibility. So deep, she missed the urgent alarm call of the blackbird and the siren bell of the robin, who had both spotted danger in the form of a large ginger cat. The cat was stealthily creeping on young Spangle. Unfortunately, by the time she realised the threat, it was too late. Spangle was cornered. She froze. Time stood still, and Spangle's life flashed before her eyes. And in that moment, she achieved a moment of clarity. It's not just running and jumping, she thought, nor just family and friends, neither solely the joy of singing. It's all of those things together. Spangle screamed, Dad!
Yeah. Exactly.
Spangle screamed twice, in fact. Now, if Spangle had been cornered by a fox, she would have been gobbled up greedily already. But cats arrived in England aboard the ships of ruthless pirates, and it is from them that they learnt their cruelty. A quick, clean kill is not for your cat. They prefer the torturous route and instilling maximum fear in their victims. And so it was here. The large cat stopped to delight in Spangle's quivering, to savour the small bird's realisation that she was taking her last breath. But that pause gave the blackbird and the robin another opportunity to raise the alarm, and all the other birds joined in. Quite a humdrum ensued from the woods, so much so that the cook came out into the yard to see what the fuss was all about. She saw the cat and what he was up to. She grabbed whatever was nearest, and with a beautifully mindful swish of the broom she found in her grasp, she lashed out at the nasty cat. Get out of here, you mingy, flea-ridden, god-forsaken creature!
Get out of here, you
big
creature!
Just like that.
And Spangle was free.
Yay!
Woo! Woo!
Yay!
Ooh, 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 ooh. Anyway, the next morning, Spangle was sat next to her father on one of the hedgerows in front of the house. Her sisters and brothers were busily buzzing around them, chattering away and trying to decide who was going to be the hunter in their next game of wren hunt. Suddenly, one of the fathers dashed out of the old rectory house wearing a pair of knickers on his head. He did two forward rolls and then prostrated himself in front of his daughter as if in worship. The girl giggled appreciatively. Then promptly sat on his head.
You would.
That you would.
Dad, Spangle said. Yes, daughter, he asked. Are all dads weird? Hedgerow Dasher laughed. Only the best kind. Spangle laughed. The owl landed right next to Spangle. I hear you had quite the adventure, young lady. I hope it was worth it. Did you discover the secret of freedom? Yes, dear owl, she replied. It's about running and jumping and dancing. It's about shouting and singing. It's about vocation and finding joy in your work. And then it's about being able to stretch your wings just when you think it's impossible. The owl smiled. I see you learnt well, young Spangle. Oh, an owl, Spangle continued. There's one more very secret important ingredient in freedom. What is it? Asked Owl, curious. It's also about wearing your best underwear on your head.
Just like that.
Come on. Bow, Steve, you think?
Thank you very much.
Careful with Adam, they're going to put around tomorrow. My only clean pair. I need them. Put them for my hair.
Manhunt?
Yeah.
You mean
Renhunt? Yeah. Thank you, Steve
and Essie. Manhunt!
Did you hear that?
You appreciated your poetry.
Well, there's a bit of pressure for me with a poet in the audience.
Yes. I could actually hear the Shakespearean rhythm.
You could hear the Shakespearean rhythm actually when you did it.
But anyway,
let's pause this and we're done.